Good evening. I've been coming to the village for over a decade now, and I've never had a session in Koinonia with the piano and with voices upstairs and downstairs, and I'm looking forward to doing that. This is called Text and Tunes, and we're going to talk primarily about texts that are going to be in the new Lutheran Book of Worship, but if you happen to use another hymnal, that's perfectly all right, because what we say will apply to that. The book itself will be published on the 15th of August. It's been in the hopper now for 12 years, and we're glad that it's finally going to be a resource for congregations. We sent an advance copy to Eric Routley, who is a hymnologist from Scotland, who presently is at the Westminster Choir School in Princeton, New Jersey. And he wrote back a very glowing review. But I'd like to share two sentences from his review. First, it represents a major event in hymn book making and deserves a certain initial celebration if it is used intelligently. Then he has a parenthesis. Always a massive reservation. It will enrich the liturgy of the Lutheran churches very deeply. And then 12 pages later, he says, I hope the Lutherans enjoy it as much as I'm likely to. Well, I hope we can have a good time with some of the material from the book. And but before we get into the material from the book, that we might use it a little bit more intelligently, I would like to share with you first a poem. And the poem comes from a sonnet that was commissioned for Pentecost this year. Actually, there were 7 sonnets for Pentecost, by a playwright, poet, John Orlock. And in this sonnet, he has something to say about what we're going to work with this evening. Staves empty of music. 5 lines, 4 spaces, waiting for notes, and 4 gospels. What we're doing is we're starting from scratch. And you start to think about that hymn book that is sort of like my nothing book. That's the way we start. And then on that we put 5 lines. And then between those 5 lines is 4 spaces. And what are they doing there? They're waiting, the poet says. Waiting for notes. But also for 4 gospels. Text and tune. First in ink, and then in sound. Trumpets, fanfares, breath winding through brass, a blast directed earthward, carrying sounds from a caring God. So we have 5 lines, and we have 4 spaces, and they're waiting for notes, the sound, the music, and for the text. It's very important, I think, that we realize that when we're working with the dimension of worship, we think about some of those resources that we rely on, and that we enjoy, and that we use, and that we share. Last week was in Seattle for the American Guild of Organists Convention for their opening service, a service in which a Holden alumnus, Paul Mantz, played. They read from Canon Joseph Poole, who's at Coventry Cathedral, and he wrote this in 1970. Worship without music does not easily soar. Worship without music does not easily soar. And whenever the church has been concerned to make worship really expressive of truth, music has been used. One of the hymns in the Lutheran Book of Worship is by F. Pratt Green, a contemporary English poet, and it's called "When in Our Music God is Glorified." And I guess I'd like to have us do the alleluias at the end of each stanza by speaking them before we get into actually musical sound tonight. So if this group from here over could be Alleluia 1, this group Alleluia 2, and anybody in the balcony Alleluia 3, okay? And so let's try it. Alleluia. Just say Alleluia when I point to you.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thank you. I knew with Maynard up there it wouldn't make any difference. Okay. And this helps also sort of give us an inner vision of what some of the work we're going to do with when we get to the actual relationship of text and tune. When in our music God is glorified and adoration leaves no room for pride, it is as though the whole creation cried,
Hallelujah.
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 Beautiful. Now my favorite stanza. How oft in making music we have found a new dimension in the world of sound. How oft in making music we have found a new dimension in the world of sound. I hope that'll happen tonight. As worship moved us to a more profound.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. So has the church in liturgy and song, in faith and love through centuries of wrong, borne witness to the truth in every tongue.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. You got to be on your toes in this. And did not Jesus sing a psalm that night? When utmost evil strove against the light, let us sing for whom he won the fight.
Hallelujah.
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 Let every instrument be tuned for praise. I guess that's part of what I think maybe this text and tune time together might be tonight. A text and tune tuning time. How do you like that one? So let every instrument be tuned for praise. We might start thinking, you know, about what we do Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Holden. This relationship of text and tune. Let every instrument be tuned for praise. Let all rejoice who have a voice to raise. And may God give us faith always to sing.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Okay. Well, that text is going to be in the book. I don't have the music with me tonight, but that gives you a little bit idea of what one hymn writer has to say about music. We live in Minneapolis, and we have a very fine opera company in Minneapolis. In fact, the director of that opera company, Phil Brunel, is also from Holden Village. And this spring they did an opera. The text was by Gertrude Stein, and the music was by Virgil Thompson. And we had several articles in the Minneapolis paper about the poetry of Gertrude Stein. And one pastor wrote this about her poetry. Gertrude Stein is the poet that wrote "A Rose is a Rose is a Rose." Never couldn't, did understand why she just couldn't say a rose was a rose. But when you start looking at a rose, and I started thinking about that and the relationship of that beautiful poem to a rose, and then you start thinking of a rose unfolding and the petals, well, a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. And it does make sense. Well, anyway, the pastor was writing about Stein's words from the theological or religious dimensions, and said she felt words had sound, color, rhythm, a meaning outside their dictionary meanings, which, when put together in new ways, could exceed their cognitive meaning. Going through these mental gymnastics can't help but open up the mind, to expand it, to make us all see clearer. She, and I, if anybody was at the service last night, she provokes. She provokes in the way the Bible provokes, not confining, but expanding. That's what art and religion are all about. Well, I've had occasion this year to work with two very creative people on a project for the American Lutheran Church Women. One is also from Holden Village, and it seems like whenever you wind up with creative people, you wind up being with Holden Village people. And his name is Herb Brokering, and we commissioned Herb Brokering to write a poem or a hymn based on the theme of the American Lutheran Church Women's Convention, which will be in August of this year in Minneapolis. And it was, the convention theme was "In Christ Called to Be." In Christ Called to Be. So Herb wrote, "Jesus, meet us in the center." And you have the hymn sheet here. "Jesus, meet us in the center of your spirit and the water. Cover us with deep compassion. Break into our inner vision." And it was, you know, just those lines were enough for me to live on for several months. But he goes on and shares many more insights with us. And then by a matter of very interesting circumstances, we decided that we'd like to set these words to music, and Dave Brubeck happened to be in town, and we asked him if he'd be interested, and he said he would be. And so we commissioned him to write some music. He had been in Minneapolis a couple of years before and had become acquainted with how well Lutherans sing, and he had a great time at one of our Lutheran churches in Minneapolis, and they sang one hymn, and he said, "I really like that hymn. It goes..." You know, what is that? Immortal. Yeah, he said, "Immortal, incredible." It's just a great hymn. And it's so wonderful to work with people outside the tradition. He was not baptized and confirmed in the Lutheran faith. And it's so exciting because he doesn't really know all that we do and doesn't exactly do exactly the same way we do it, but gives us new insights because he brings into our community, I think, some new ideas. Immortal, invisible, immortal, incredible. And I never think about him anymore without thinking what an incredible hymn that is when it's seen through the eyes of a jazz pianist. He had another hymn that he used. His wife wrote these words: "God's love made visible, incomprehensible, he is invincible, his love shall reign." He wrote it for his Mexican Christmas cantata. "God's love made visible, incomprehensible, he is invincible, his love shall reign." Now, if those of you who are rhythmic and musical were tapping your feet, you realize that there's not one single hymn in service book and hymnal in that meter. It's not in 4/4 time, it's not in 3/4 time, it's not in 2/4 time, but it's
God's love made visible, incomprehensible. He is invincible, his love shall reign. From love so bountiful, blessings uncountable, makes death surmountable, his love shall reign. Or something like that. 5/4 time. But there you see, he's bringing freshness and excitement and jubilation and buoyancy and so forth into our musical life. Well, I think he does that with this hymn. So let's work with a little bit of the hymn. When I talked to him and asked him to intensify Herd Brokering's poem with music, musical means. I want you to underscore the text with rhythm, melody, and harmony. And so then we got into it, and I said, but after it was all done, I said, you know, Lutherans don't have rests in the middle of their hymns. I said, when we sing, praise to the Lord. We just go right on. We don't sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Don't have rest in the middle. He said, I know that. But even Rude, you told me that you wanted me to intensify the text, and it says break into our inner vision. Second line. Cover us with deep compassion. Break into our inner vision. And so it was his attempt to intensify at least that first stanza. And that kind of gave him break into our inner vision. Break into, those aha moments. Of which we don't have enough in the church. It's all like it was last Sunday. And what we need is more aha moments to overcome the ho-ho-hum. We don't have to talk about that at Holden, but okay, Jesus meet. Here we go.
Jesus meet us in the center of your spirit, and the water cover us with deep compassion, bringing to our inner vision.
Thank you, okay, thank you, yeah, okay. Cover us with your compassion. I couldn't help thinking of a linoleum Bach print we have at the house. It's by Robert Hodgell, who's now down at Eckerd College in Florida. But at the time that we knew him, he was at the University of Wisconsin. And he was portraying Jesus healing the blind man. And the blind man was kneeling down looking up at Jesus, and Jesus was standing and arched over healing the blind man. And Brubeck has a musical figure that is exactly the same as that visual figure in that linoleum block print.
Cover us with deep compassion.
What if he'd done?
Cover us with deep compassion.
He could have done that, you see. We had 5 lines in 4 spaces. And he was waiting for Brokering, not 4 Gospels. He was waiting for Brokering and then for notes. And so for that passage, you
cover us with deep.
Kind of works. At the end, he has an ending after the 5th stanza. Born of the Spirit, it goes like this.
Born of the Spirit, born of the water, Jesus meet us in the center.
Look what he does with, and then I said, when Lutherans end their hymns, they end it more like this.
Jesus meet us in the center.
What does he do?
Jesus meet us in the center.
You know, you just can't do it that way. But that gives us new insights, new vision, new excitement, and born of the Spirit.
Born of the Spirit, born of the water, Jesus meet us in the center.
Okay. Look also what he does with the bass line on Jesus meet us.
Jesus meet us in the center.
Sopranos have Jesus meet us in the center. And so they go. And they actually do it right there on the printed page. Well, that's what I mean by getting into the work a little bit. My daughter is also a Holden alumnus. She graduated from high school here. She spent December, January, through graduation time at Holden Village this year. And part of the high school is to have a tutorial program
And somehow somebody talked her into studying the works of James, the William James, the philosopher. And she came home and had many William James books with her. And so I started reading William James. And all of a sudden I realized that William James and Jerry Evenrude were talking about the same thing. It's so exciting when you have somebody who's recognized who thinks the way you do. And he wrote one of his books about our judgments concerning the worth of things, big or little, depends on the feelings the things arouse in us. And from that simple sentence, I have coined a word which is called experiential interiorization. Experiential interiorization. I think one reason that some people maybe are having problems in churches today in terms of hymn singing is that people don't experience the hymn singing. No one has ever given them a chance to sing hymn 408, period. And so I think sometimes, somehow, and this is really the time when you have a new hymn book, to share some insights about the hymns. Experiential interiorization. Get into, you know, what you're working with. I think we can start with number 13. This collection will be used this fall at 750 events, and those 750 events are throughout North America, and there will be 18 clusters of 18 congregations in each of those 750 clusters. So that takes care of the Lutherans in America that are working with this book. And this is one of the resources that they will have. This is also available in the bookstore if you want to have a copy to sing around at your campfire at home. Okay, lift high the cross. He could have written, lift high the cross, but he chose to write, lift high the cross, you know, and it just helps you to sing the word. You see that word, lifting high. Okay, let's do it. Then, when he gets to the word world, that is on the word proclaim and world and cross. Those are the words and name. If you analyze this, where are the half notes? You see, lift is a half note, but cross is a half note dot. And claim is a half note dot, and world is a half note with tied to a quarter. All those are the words that he wants to emphasize. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ, love a little bit longer, but there are certain words, and you'll find those. Let's sing. Experiential interiorization until we sometimes use it with a processional cross. And then, you know, it has a reason for being. And then the excitement of beginning a service with a processional cross will be a reality. When I read that word love, it reminded me that I had one other text to share with you. It's been set to music by Richard Falciano. And Falciano is an avant-garde musician today who's using electronic tapes. My wife used this at the cathedral this Pentecost. The electronic tape starts going bloop, all those bleeps and bloops, sort of going through the air, and he calls it Cosmic Festival. And he says, Earth's crammed with heaven, and every living thing is afire with God, and every living thing is afire with God. To the wise,
Life is a festival, festival, festival. And then choirs sing, festival, 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 festival. And all this is going on at the same time. The electronic sounds and people singing festival, festival, and then they come up with some other words. Truth, lies, waiting in all things, unfolding itself from living buds. But it must be first in yourself. Experiential interiorization. It has to get inside of you. It shall come from your soul. It shall be love. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. Okay, let's do the first stanza. Okay, chorus. Stand up. Exciting. 15. I hope maybe to better understand this text before I leave Holden this year. I've spent a lot of time with it. I was asked to write the harmonization for it. And here I'd like to emphasize not so much melodic intensification of text, but harmonic intensification of the mood of the text. It ends, if you look at the last line, the pickup to the last line on the second page. The marvelous peace of God you can sing on a loo. Don't sing the words. Sing the words. The marvelous peace twice. We had the melody and we had the text, but we didn't have any harmony. And the harmony, I felt, should be discordant as you get into the text. So the first chord is this, an A against a G. Ugly sound. You'll find all sorts of suspensions like this. Do this, everybody sing one and two. Oh, let's have everybody sing one, men sing two, women sing three, everybody four. Everybody one, men two, women three, everybody four. Okay? Thank you.
contrast between that processional hymn, Lift High the Cross, and... Okay, start with number one. Number one. The New Lutheran Book of Worship will have even more variety than Service Book and Hymnal, and several from... either black Negro sources or Southern hymn books, and this is one of them. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. This year, and I went in spirit to his funeral. Herb Brokering went to the funeral, and he said at the funeral they sang Go Tell It on the Mountain. And Herb said after he had a chance, after they had sung that hymn, they said, Herb, would you say a few words? And he went up and he said, Go Tell It in the Valley, too. Exciting things about the liturgies in the new service book is that Lutheran Book of Worship is that it's not only those that have been ordained, but or that are male, bass or tenor, that will be chanting these days, but altos, sopranos, basses, and tenors, and for many parts of the service, lay people can also be involved in our liturgies as well as in the singing of the hymns. Okay, this joyful Eastertide. For those of you who were at the service last night during the distribution, we attempted, instead of singing songs about necessarily about communion,
we went through the church year and had Advent, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and we finally made it to Pentecost during the distribution. And the choir sang this. I think it's terribly exciting hymn, especially the last line where it says, "But now is Christ arisen." Listen to that. Johnson, and I had this collection along in manuscript, and I said, you know, Paul, you're really responsible partly for having this hymn in the New Lutheran Book of Worship. And he gave me a rather befuddled look, and I said, it was when the American Lutheran Church had their constituting convention that they commissioned you to write a choral work called Una Sancta, and in that work you used this hymn, and there were 10,000 people there, and they left. And they all went home and opened up their red service book and hymnals. And it wasn't there. Well, it's going to be there now. Okay. Now we start a series of hymns that have what I call initial notes that I think of in terms of a hymn that is very popular in service book and hymnal, 144. Saints. Our son was an AAU swimmer, and we used to go around the country with him and would watch him at the edge of the diving platform, and then there would be the, you know, with the gun, and then they'd shoot, and then poof, he'd go. Well, whenever I hear that initial, I think that's the shot to get us started to go. Well, it doesn't always work that way, but okay, this hymn is new. Carl Schalk. There's another comment I'd like to make also while we're at this. You've seen Jerry Vida's name in here, Carl Schalk's name. You'll see several people who belong to a group of the Lutheran Church that is not significantly cooperating at this present time. in the distribution of the book. And when David Price came back from Dallas last summer, I said, I hope you thank them. And he said, thank them? And I said, yes, I hope you thank them for all the fine contributions, splendid contributions, that have been made by people from Missouri Synod to Lutheran Book of Worship. Carl Schalk is one, Hillard is another, Jerry Vida in the hymn collection, and several liturgical scholars. The book is a better book because we were all together in the making of it. Whether we can celebrate in the using of it is another matter. But this is one example. Isn't that nice how he emphasizes Pentecost? And descend, look at this one. All the direction down. And holy, look at that. Lord God, the... I always like to go through hymns and say, what if the composer did, what if he'd done it the way I would have probably done it? And my music isn't published. Lord God, the Holy Ghost, or something, you know. But he dwells on that whole, gives you a chance. Lord God, the Holy Ghost. Savor, enjoy it. Here we go. Christians together, and they have a chance to sing a new song.
This is actually the appoggiatura on the earlier this use of the
could be
the appoggiatura there.
A little bit like that.
Mm-hmm. The string music during the time of Handel the Bach.
I think it's terribly exciting that we can have a chance to do exactly what it says in the Old Testament. David said over and over again, sing unto the Lord an old song. And you're not listening. Okay. If any group should be involved in utilizing the latest creations, the latest fruits of creativity, it should be the Christian group, who worship the God who creates all. So we have another one of these launching pad hymns. The next one. You have that initial. In fact, this used to be the hymn tune that was used for all the saints.
For all the saints who from their labors rest.
And then Vaughan Williams came along after this hymn was used and wrote, and people liked that better, so this hymn went out. And now they found some marvelous text for this. In fact, I wrote the poet. In England, and he said he was going to school, and at the school that he was at, the college that he was at Chesup College in Cambridge, and there was some experimentation going on with test tube babies, and it was out of that investigation that he decided maybe it would be a good idea to write some words about baptism. And so he wrote a baptism hymn. And if any of you know the Lutheran book, service book and hymnal, you know we have two hymns in there for baptism. So it's kind of nice to know that we're going to have some new ones. Okay? Now, the end of this has... Okay, here we go. District convention this year, and they had a party for the retiring bishop, who was also a Holden alumnus, Bishop Moore. And I was out in one of the Texas ranches, you know, 2,000 acres, lots of cattle, 800 head, plus a sprinkling of oil wells. And it was a fun place to be. But the host was Baptist, and he was apologizing for being a Baptist with all the Lutherans around. And I had just come from Columbus, where I had heard Harms give a lecture. And he had said in that lecture, and I shared with this rancher, Baptist rancher, I said, you know, one of our theologians just said to a group of pastors the other day, when you baptize, I want you to use so much water that the custodian has to mop up afterwards. He said, I feel better already. Now the silence. Jerry Vida is a very special person and a very good friend of mine. And I wrote him and I said, would you please tell me why you wrote Now the Silence? And he wrote back and said, one morning when I was shaving, and I haven't been able to shave since without thinking of Jerry Vida and Now the Silence. But I don't know what you do when you shave, men, and I guess there's some around here that don't. But he started thinking about worship. And you can read what he's written there. But that's what this hymn is all about. I do want to share with you something that happened to me after receiving that letter. And that will do the last two lines. Now the Spirit's visitation. Second page, last two lines. Expanding our horizons and giving us new vision. I have never heard a pastor say, in the name of the Spirit, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father. And I had sung this for, this appeared in Contemporary Worship 1. I've been singing it now for over 10 years. Never noticed it. And that's what I mean about, you know, experiential interiorization. We have to get inside the work. We have to really work with the text of these hymns and understand what's going on. And he had a definite purpose in mind, and he says that. He said, the reversal of the Trinitarian order in the benediction was made not only to make the conclusion memorable, but to indicate the order in which the Trinity approaches us in worship, the Spirit bringing us the gospel by which God's blessing is released in our lives. Text and tune. And there we have Carl Schalk again coming up with a beautiful tune. Now the silence. Now the peace. And the interesting thing is that these hymns are beginning to appear in other hymn books. There's a new hymn book called the Ecumenical Hymn Book, published last year, and Now the Silence is in there, except they only have one now at the end. I don't know what that means. But we have three, so let's sing them when we get there. Okay. Luther wrote some hymns. One of those hymns is A Mighty Fortress. In the new book, it's going to appear in two versions. And the other version is this. Maybe at our next session we can talk about that. But what reminded me about Martin Luther is the fact that there are still Lutheran pastors around that are doing exactly what Martin used to do, that is writing hymns. And one of them is in the LCA, and he's down in Florida, and his name is Charles Anders, and he was on the hymn music committee, and he wrote this one. Let's sing the Alleluias. Sound system and have those sounds going in the educational wing, or take it to different groups during the week. Several different ways in which, if you have a chimes as we have at Holden, you can play that in the morning instead of paddle your own canoe or whatever Beanie's doing these days. And what was that? The other morning, somebody from Iowa was most pleased because he played an Iowa Cornhusker Husker song. But several different ways that you can infiltrate your community with sounds. I was in Arkansas, and I was driving down the road from one church to it was a two-point parish, from one parish to another, and the pastor turned on the radio, and I said, "Oh, that sounds familiar." And he smiled, and he said, "It should." And I said, "Oh, it's the Augsburg record of new hymns from Lutheran Book of Worship." And he said, "It sure is. We gave it to our radio station, and they've been playing it." So, even in Arkansas. Okay. Spirit of God. Spirit of God unleashed on earth. Another pastor from California. I'd like to share with you just a few notes before we'll quit exactly at 1:45, so we've been here an hour. In the liturgy, one of the liturgical songs is an alternate to Glory Be to God in High, or what is the text that we have? Glory to God in the Highest. And that is, this is the Feast of Victory. And Dr. Hillard from Concordia College in River Forest wrote that. And it goes like this. Give us rhythmic and melodic elements that support, enhance, and intensify the textual material. For example, on the word victory, he has a dotted note. What if he'd written victory? Wouldn't have been quite as victorious. It's just much more jubilant. Victory. Or look at the word feast. It's sort of like what we have to eat at Holden. You know, several courses. Instead of just one note. This is the feast of You see, and you can go through music. You can go through liturgical texts. You can go through the hymns. And you can say, why did the composer do what he did when he did it? And I think that there is a reason. And so I've been writing composers, and I've been writing poets, and I've been asking them, why did you have you done what you've done? And I've been getting some very interesting answers and some supportive evidence to support the fact that text and tunes definitely are related. And if we better understand that relationship, if we have experiential interiorization of that body of material, if we can share with our congregations the excitement of singing praise to the Lord, and realize that praise to the Lord has those marvelous skips because it's the hymn of joy, jubilant joy, dancing. And a more meditative hymn like Ah, Holy Jesu. Marriages. They're not all made in heaven. And but they're marvelous, marvelous relationships in text and tune, in hymns, psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. And I hope as you get into the hymn book that you're using, your service will be enriched immeasurably because you've taken time to become better acquainted. Thank you. We could have maybe just some sort of exit order, like you would just leave the material in two piles, one at that door and one at this door. Thank you.